Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. The parable of the Good Samaritan. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came to where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise."
Thank you, Colby, and thank you, Steve, for that song. Is it up? Okay, great. On August the 12th, I had the privilege of going with these other guys in Orange to Toms River, New Jersey, to work with Samaritan's Purse, working on repairing homes that were damaged by Hurricane Sandy back in October. And we want to share with you this morning something of the impact that that ministry trip has had upon us. The storm that became known as Superstorm Sandy developed from a tropical wave in the Western Caribbean Sea on October the 22nd of last year, quickly strengthened and was upgraded to Tropical Storm Sandy 6 hours later, moved slowly northward toward the Greater Antilles, and gradually intensified on October 24th, became a hurricane, made landfall near Kingston, Jamaica, reemerged a few hours later into the Caribbean Sea, strengthened into a Category 2 hurricane. On October 25th, she hit Cuba at her strongest as a Category 3, then weakened to a Category 1, moved through the Bahamas on the 26th, continued to track north. As a Category 2 storm off the coast of the northeastern United States, she became the largest Atlantic hurricane on record as measured by diameter, spanning 1,100 miles across. Early on October 29th, she curved north-northwest and moved ashore near Brigantine, New Jersey, just northeast of Atlantic City, as a post-tropical cyclone with hurricane-force winds. By this time, she had merged with a frontal system and had been nicknamed by the media as Superstorm Sandy. And at the time she made landfall in New Jersey, she was enormous, covering 1.8 million square miles. She devastated the New Jersey coast, washing away a 50-foot piece of the Atlantic City boardwalk, pushing many homes off their foundation, putting thousands of homes underwater, and leaving 2.6 million customers without power. In all, Sandy affected 24 states in the U.S., causing $65 billion in damages, killing 159 people, 72 directly, and 187 indirectly. 12 of those directly killed were in New Jersey, 25 others indirectly killed there. All told, Sandy was the deadliest hurricane to hit the U.S. since Katrina in 2005, and the second costliest hurricane in U.S. history behind Katrina. The New Jersey coast is a little like the North Carolina coast in that it has its own outer banks, a long, thin island running parallel to the coast, separated from the mainland by a bay. We stayed at Toms River, New Jersey. I'm sorry for the poor quality of the map. You can see it perhaps just above the center of the map. We worked on a house on the island each day. We crossed the bridge, the only bridge for miles, worked near Seaside Heights on the island. We saw a little of the damage, but most of it had been cleaned up by the time we arrived 10 months after the storm. One of the things we learned is that the state is going to require that some of the houses be raised off the ground like these at a cost of about $10,000 per foot raised, and some will have to be raised 8 or 9 or 10 feet. We stayed at this church, the Church of Grace and Peace in Toms River, New Jersey. Samaritan's Purse has set up its rebuilding headquarters there. It has a 2-year agreement with the church. It's committed to being in New Jersey for 5 years, so they'll probably extend their agreement with the church. The shower trailer and the kitchen trailer have been set up in the parking lot beside the church building and excellent facilities. The church site sits on a large campus. Here's a shot from the back parking lot with our church van in view. Andy Beauchamp is the program manager. He's from Mocksville, North Carolina, a great guy. Al and Polly Bottomley are from Ohio. They came several months ago to work with the staff, on staff with Samaritan's Purse in the New Jersey operation. Al is the logistics manager who brought whatever material we needed to the site. And Polly is the gourmet chef who prepared delicious meals for breakfast and dinner. We tried our best to talk her into moving to Durham to open up a restaurant, but we haven't succeeded so far. Steve Clymer is one of the construction supervisors. He's from Boone. He was in Tuscaloosa when we were there back in February, and he took out the other team to their work site all week. Wayne and Carol King are also from Boone, and they too were in Tuscaloosa when we were there. This is the couple, if you remember, I told you about last March, whose little granddaughter Peyton was killed in June of 2012 when a stone cross in a cemetery fell on her just before the start of VBS at a church near their home. Carol is a volunteer coordinator in New Jersey, and Wayne is a construction supervisor who took our team out each day. The guy standing between them in this photo is Tom Cluender, one of the pastors of the church there in New Jersey, also serves as the case manager for Samaritan's Purse Rebuild Program there in Toms River. And here's our group. Jim Singer, of course, on the left. The guy beside him is John McClellan from Vermont. This was his third trip from Vermont to New Jersey this year. He's going back in October with his wife. And then, of course, Wynn and myself and Wayne and Carol, you met earlier, and Doyle and Gilbert. This is the house we worked on all week. Salt water was about 4.5 feet deep in this house after the hurricane. The downstairs had to be gutted. Other groups before us had already replaced the siding on the outside and the electrical work and insulation and drywall inside. We worked on the flooring, the walls, the window trim all week, laying tile, sanding, and painting. The house is owned by Nancy, the lady in blue in this photo, and the guy on her left in black is Philip, one of the chaplains with Samaritan's Purse who visited with us one day. He actually attended Southeastern Seminary, pastored a church in North Carolina for several years. Nancy kept her bird feeder and hanging flowers in her front yard to keep some semblance of home. And we kept the feeder filled with seed and the flowers watered for her every day. Here's a shot of Nancy and her mom when they came to eat dinner with us on Friday night. One of the guys was going to tell you Nancy's story. This is the other group that was there that week, 4 men and 3 women from First Nazarene Church in Harrisonburg, Virginia. By the way, those of you who've gone with me on the Pennsylvania trips, their church is just a couple of exits from the Shenandoah Heritage Farmers Market in Harrisonburg, where we always stop for lunch. These were great folks who love the Lord. And left to right is Frank and then Lisa, Steve Clymer that you met earlier, their supervisor, Julie, Bill, Aaron, who, by the way, that's third from the right there. Aaron lost his job because he came that week. The boss told him, you can either work or you can go. And he felt like the Lord wanted him to go. And so we prayed for him that first day that the Lord would open up another job situation for him. Sandy's next to the right, and then Craig Sounder at the end. This is the house they worked on, the other end of it. It sits right on a beautiful little canal. You'll see pictures of it later. And here's a shot of the whole group. By the way, this shot was taken on Thursday morning, and the guy second from left we call Thursday Bob. because he drives over from Pennsylvania every Thursday morning to work with whatever group is there that week and then drives back home that evening. As you can see, he's not a spring chicken, and I don't know how long of a commute he had each day back and forth, but I do know that he has a heart to serve the Lord by helping others. After the first morning, we ate breakfast and dinner every day in the church's beautiful dining room, and as I said, the food was great. On Wednesday night, we attended the church service, got there early before many had arrived, as you can see, and heard an excellent lesson from the senior pastor, Walter Healy, on the incense offering in the Old Testament and how that pictures our prayers today. Then we participated in a very moving communion service, unlike any I've ever been a part of. I really wish I'd taken a picture of it. One of the group led in devotions each morning after breakfast. Here's the shot of Doyle sharing on Friday morning, and I spoke on Saturday morning just before we left. And here's a final shot of our group on Friday. The one guy I haven't introduced is the second from the right there between Gilbert and me, Barry Johnson from Amelia, Virginia. He bunked with us and worked with us all week, and we kind of adopted him as part of our North Carolina group. Somehow I failed to get a photo of our bunk room, but we had the best sleeping facility of any place we've stayed on these trips. The work was hard. As Wynn could attest, after the first day of laying tile all day. But it was a great week and very rewarding. The only negative was the traffic that we ran into between D.C. and Fredericksburg on the way home. Cost us a little over 2 hours. But it was great meeting some new friends who love the Lord and have a heart to serve him by being his hands and feet and serving those in need. And that, by the way, is one of the great things about these trips. We've met people from Los Angeles, New York City, New Jersey, Vermont, Ohio, Virginia, and several other places. People who love the Lord and give of their time to serve him by serving people they don't even know. Now, the guys are going to come and share, Jim and Gilbert and Wynn and Doyle in that order, and just give you an idea of the impact that the trip had upon them. Jim.
Well, I actually thought I would be last or second from last, but I don't want to take anybody's thunder, but it was great working with these guys, Gilbert and Wynn and Doyle and Pastor Dale, and it's just a wonderful time, wonderful camaraderie as we traveled up and worked together and traveled back. And we got some really hard workers here. These guys work really hard. They're pushing the end of the day. They want to lay one more tile or do something else that needs to be done. And Wayne, you know, our team leader, was saying, well, come on, you guys, you need to pick up and put things away. We need to get back and be there in time for the activities back at the church. But it's great working with these guys. It's great going on these trips. I think this is my third. I think Dale's been on all four. And we had two newbies this time with Gilbert and Wynn, and they fit right in. They did great. I think they enjoyed their time, and of course Doyle, I think this was his second trip. But we had some others that had hoped to go. We had originally saved space for 10, and we had 8 that we thought were going to make it, and then 3 couldn't make it. And these things happen, we know. And they're real receptive to when people's schedules and change, you just tell them, okay, we're one less person. It's harder to add people in, but it's always easy to subtract if something comes up and they can't make it. We do plan to go again, probably in late February, early March. That'll be our next trip. We sort of space them out about 6-month intervals. And it's just a wonderful ministry. I'm not going to take any of the stories that some of the guys have to tell. I'm going to leave them those stories for them to tell. But I do want to encourage you as we look to the future and look to other opportunities to go, I will be letting you know. And if you have an interest, please let us know. We'd love to take more people that perhaps haven't been before. It'd be great to introduce you to how the ministry works and get some hands-on experience helping people that have had some unfortunate things happen to them over a short period of time. So I'm going to leave it at that, and I guess Gilbert's coming up next? Okay, thank you.
Well, this is my first trip, and it kind of really blew my mind. I was sorry that I hadn't done it before, especially finding out this lady's story that we went to help rebuild her house. Her and her husband had gone on a cruise for their wedding anniversary, and the storm hit, and they couldn't even get back to New Jersey for a while. They had to sail around out in the Atlantic for a while. They finally came back. They found out that their business was gone. He was a barber and she was a hairstylist. They had a shop on the beach, completely wiped that out, and then gutted their house also. And then to lay a little bit more on it, everything, her husband had a massive heart attack and died. And she was left there by herself with her 82-year-old mom and a daughter with pretty much, her mind was completely blown. She didn't know what to do. Went to Samaritan's Purse, and they were gracious enough to see her need and minister to her. And it was we think we've got it bad sometimes when our car breaks down or something like that, but when you lose everything at one time, and then a ministry like Samaritan's Purse puts together brothers and sisters from all over the country, all over the world, really, to go and help with that, not asking anything in return. And these people are just knocked back by it, especially up in New Jersey. They don't trust anybody. They talk funny, too. But, like I said, I'm just sorry I hadn't done it before, and I look forward to the next trip. Thank you.
It was absolutely an amazing trip. Wasn't at all what I had expected. I guess, in a lot of ways, felt somewhat responsible. You know, my wife's name is Sandy, so when the hurricane came through, I felt like this must be a calling of some kind. But it also was a lesson in patience for me. I'm a general contractor, and I want things done when I want them done. I don't want any excuses. I don't want to take breaks during the day. I want people working the whole time. So for me, somehow I got elected or volunteered, I'm not sure which, to lay tile, and I've never been really one to kind of to kneel when I'm praying, but when you spend a whole week on your knees laying tile, you start to pray a little bit. And so it was kind of difficult after the first day getting up and down. As you can see, I had a pretty bad headache, and not to mention my back, and I'm still recovering from that. I think Dale probably is too. He was my assistant. He got suckered into that somehow. I'm not sure how that worked out. But we always have excuses of reasons we can't serve. And the week leading up to the trip, I was coming up with all kinds of excuses. You know, I've got better things to do. Like Gilbert said, these people from New Jersey, they talk funny. Do I really want to go work for them? You know, it was easy to come up with reasons not to go. And I feel very blessed that I did go. The food was excellent. And if any of you haven't gone, and God calls us to serve anyway, as part of what we're supposed to do, this is a phenomenal way to do it, and it's a great organization. A lot of us, think that sometimes we have it worse than other people. And I didn't think about it until Dale showed the slideshow of the date of the Hurricane Sandy. But that was actually the day that my wife had somehow talked me into doing the Tough Mudder. And we were in South Carolina running this race, 11 miles or however horribly long it was, and doing all these obstacles. And all I could think about was, oh, my gracious, I'm going to die. And so we finally get through this race, not even giving any thought of the fact that the wind's blowing really hard and it's raining and all these people that are in harm's way of the storm, of what they were dealing with. You know, so just when you think that things can't get any worse, it's already worse for somebody else. And so just keep that in mind when you're giving service and to give with an open heart. One of the difficult things for me as a contractor is always trying to figure out how much to charge somebody. It's one of the things I hate about being a contractor. There's so many people that I like working for that I just seem not even charge them at all. And this gave me a chance to kind of do that. Even though the work was difficult, the guys I went with were absolutely amazing. Couldn't ask for a better bunch. But I have to give the utmost respect to Jim Singer, who sanded sheetrock mud the entire week, I think, for the most part. He looked like Frosty the Snowman every day. And I just felt sorry for the guy, even though I was in pain kneeling on the floor. He came out with, I don't know, he like somebody had dusted him in a bag of flour. But it was a great trip. If you haven't done it, I highly recommend it. I will be doing it again. And God really blessed us in this trip. Absolutely. So, Mr. Doyle, come on up.
I don't know how I got to be last because everybody's already said everything, so I'll make up some stuff. No, I'm teasing. It occurred to me as I was listening to these guys and thinking, too, a lot of things that are going on. I went to Atlanta early Friday morning to a Fishers of Men Leadership Conference, which is something that I do. It's an evangelistic outreach for kids and through bass fishing. But anyway, we had some, when you go on these trips like we were talking about here and what I just went on, there's a lot of ride time where you have a lot of great discussion about things. And it occurred to me to, this is a great point, I think, to encourage people. I mean, if you're like me, if you watch the news during the week and you listen to all the things that's going on, if you're not careful, you begin to get a little bit depressed. You know what I'm saying? I don't mean depressed like I need to appeal, but I mean like, man, what a mess. Things are terrible. But then when you go on a trip like we went to and you meet all these different people from all across the country, you are so encouraged because let me tell you something, folks. There is a ton of people out here across this country who are doing their very best to do the right thing. And when he said, the old smart guy said to Christ, you know, well, who is my neighbor? We're not kidding ourselves, because most of us have been in a situation where we needed some help, and people showed up at just the right time. I mean, it's not been long ago. I had just a little something happen. I had a tire blow off a trailer, and I was like in a mess. I really need somebody to give me a hand, and I had just talked to my buddy back there, Bobby Pate, and if you think the Lord didn't intervene in this, come to find out, he was 2 minutes down the road from where I was. And after I talked to him, I looked in my rearview mirror, and he pulled up behind me on the road, and I thought he was 30 miles away. Things happen for a reason, but all I'm going to say is, let me encourage you. If you go on one of these trips, you help people who really are in a situation where they really can't help themselves very much. I mean, as these guys repeated, these people lost their business, they lost their cars, both their vehicles were sitting at home because they had been saving up forever to go on this anniversary trip. They get home, their business is gone, their house is gone, their cars are underwater. And then before, she told us the first time she went in the house was to get papers so she could bury her husband. And if you can really stop and think, what if that happened to me? It's hard to do that, but think about it. How would I feel? How would things be? And I know tomorrow's Monday, and most of us have to get up and go to work, and sometimes things look kind of dreary, but let me tell you, if you can get up, look at yourself in the mirror while you're brushing your teeth and thank the Lord that you're there. And let's stand up, make some noise, kick up some dust, and let's get on with the project. We should be thankful every day. So all I can tell you is be encouraged that there's people out there, like all the people we've met from across the country doing this kind of thing. If you want to be blessed, I'm not saying you can't go to one of these Samaritan's trips and look in the mirror and say, look at me, aren't I a hero? I went and helped somebody. I'm going to tell you who's going to be blessed the most if you will go and do what they ask you to do. Who you think is going to be blessed the most? It will be you. Because if you're really honest with yourself and you realize that I'm really doing this for someone and I'm not asking anything in return, you will be blessed. Now, don't be patting yourself on the back. I'm not talking about that. But just honestly assess what's going on, and you will be blessed. You just won't believe, if you haven't ever done it, what kind of feeling it is. So I encourage you to go. The fact that you might have to hang out with these bunch of hairy-legged rascals is beside the point. You can get through it, I promise you, because I've been on a couple of trips with them, and you can get through it. But thanks a lot. It's a wonderful thing. You need to participate.
We didn't hear any miracle stories in New Jersey like we heard in Alabama back in February. Remember those stories of children rescued by angels in the midst of the tornado, of homeowners surviving without a scratch while their home was blown down around them, of pages of an open Bible not even turned in the middle of a room in which the walls blew down. We didn't hear those stories, though some like them may well have occurred, but we heard stories of great tragedy and loss, like Nancy's that you heard about, stories of sacrifice like Aaron's. We saw flesh and blood, firsthand evidence of commitment and service in the lives of those who came, people like Julie Kaufman from Virginia, who shared with us on Thursday how it really was a step out of her comfort zone to come that week, and she almost didn't, but she was so glad she did, and she will definitely be back. When Jesus told the lawyer in Luke 10 that the second greatest commandment was to love one's neighbor as himself, the lawyer tried to squirm out of the requirement by playing word games. Well, just who is my neighbor? He asked the Lord. The Lord answered by telling one of the most cherished stories in history, the story of the Good Samaritan. And when he was finished, he turned the question around by asking the lawyer, not who is my neighbor, but which of these three men, the priest, the Levite, or the Samaritan, was a neighbor to the man who had been beaten and left for dead by the thieves. The man gave the obvious answer, well, I suppose it was the one who showed kindness to him. Jesus responded, you go and do likewise. You and I are commanded to love our neighbor. And Jesus taught us in that parable that our neighbor is anyone that God brings across our path who has a need. And in fact, the real issue is not whether a person is my neighbor, but whether I am a neighbor to that person in need. I realize you don't have to go to New Orleans or Tuscaloosa or New Jersey to do that. There are plenty of people in need in Durham and Raleigh and surrounding areas. But what a great opportunity to help those who have had their lives devastated by Hurricane Katrina or a monster EF5 tornado or a superstorm Sandy. I'm so thankful for Samaritan's Purse, a top-notch Christian organization that provides us with a platform to be the hands and feet of Jesus, to help people that we otherwise wouldn't be able to directly help, and to meet other Christians that otherwise we would never meet in this life. In recent weeks, we've talked about taking God seriously and following Jesus and working till Jesus comes. Question is, are you doing that? What did you do this week for the Lord? Something that an unbeliever would never do. Some of you wanted to go on this trip but weren't able to go. Some of you could have gone but perhaps didn't even consider it. So I want to challenge you to look ahead and mark your calendar for early March 2014. Lord willing, we hope to go back to New Jersey, and then, before then, soon we'll settle on a definite date. As you noticed in the slides, you don't have to be a man to go. Every time we've gone, there have been ladies from other groups there, and Samaritan's Purse makes great accommodations for the ladies. So I encourage you to plan to go with us. And I assure you, the devil doesn't want you to go. He'll try to hinder you from going, and if he can, he'll try to worry you to death, as he did with Wynn. You can ask him about that. But make up your mind that you're not going to let him get the victory, that you're going to serve Jesus till he comes. Maybe not with Samaritan's Purse, maybe with Awana this afternoon, or the choir, or preschool, or children's church, or whatever. But make sure you're serving him. Do you know him? Has there ever been a point in your life, a time in your life, where you acknowledged your sin, realized that Jesus died for your sin, and turning from your sin, you trusted Christ as Lord and Savior? That's the first step. And if you've never done that, I invite you to him. Let's stand with heads bowed. The praise team is going to lead us in a closing song. I encourage you, if the Lord has spoken to your heart, if you need to come and pray, this altar is always open. I'll be here as we sing, and I'll be in the foyer afterwards. If I can help you in any way, I'd be delighted to do so. Father in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity to serve you. We're grateful for opportunities like those of us had who went on the trip to New Jersey. But we're grateful that you open doors every day. Help us to be alert to those neighbors that you bring across our path with a need. And help us to be neighbor to them, showing the love of Christ, showing the difference you've made in our lives, looking for opportunities to show forth that love to others. Lord, if there's any with us today never trusted the Savior, draw them to yourself, we pray, even as we sing. We thank you in Jesus' name.